You're listening to Simon Scriver's Amazingly Ultimate Fundraising Superstar podcast, talking all things fundraising, charities, nonprofits, and more.
This is your host, Simon Scriver, but I'm on holiday at the moment. So here is your guest host, the IOF Community Fundraising Special Interest Group.
Okay, so hello everyone. We are looking after Simon's podcast. And I say we, we'll all go around and introduce ourselves. So my name is Millie Coulter. I'm fundraising manager for Surrey at the British Heart Foundation, but I'm also a member of the Institute of Fundraising Community Fundraising Special Interest Group.
I'm Sarah. I chair the Special Interest Group and also a freelancer specialising in public fundraising.
I'm Alice. I'm the Senior Community Events Executive at World Child Cancer, and I also look after the communications for the SIG and also the membership as well.
And I'm Emily, and I'm the head of fundraising at Children with Cancer UK and also one of the members of the SIG group.
Yeah, so we are going to have a chat today, basically. We wanted to actually talk about sort of, first of all, being an introvert in a community fundraising world, so that would apply to me for definite, but also moving on from that, talking about bringing your authentic self to fundraising and to your work and how that can develop relationships better with your volunteers and supporters, but also how it can help you connect with colleagues as well. Who wants to kick it off?
I think you should kick us off, Millie.
Okay.
About being an introvert.
Yeah, so everybody thinks that I'm an extrovert, just from sort of how I am. I guess I obviously put on quite a good front in the best possible way. But yeah, I'm an introvert and I am community fundraiser, which means that I'm out and about in Surrey, meeting people, meeting volunteers all the time. And I absolutely love doing it and I love meeting those people. They're always so interesting and so willing to share their story and support the charity. But I do find personally that if I've had a week where I've had a lot of meetings and a lot of out and about, I find it quite tiring. So, you know, sometimes I really yearn for maybe those days or weeks where I'm actually in my office doing some desk-based work, which is why being flexible and sort of working from home actually really works for me, because even if I've had meetings, I then don't have to kind of go back to an office where there's other colleagues, and as lovely as the company is nice sometimes, that space, that headspace for me really works. So I don't, you know, fundraising, community fundraising and fundraising in general is quite a sort of exhausting, tiring profession in many ways. So I think it is important to be able to take that time for yourself, even if it is while you're still doing work. Are any of you guys introverts or are you all extroverts?
I'm definitely an extrovert.
Yeah, I am, to be fair.
I definitely am as well. I think anyone who has met me would know that as well. But I definitely find I'm getting a few more introverted tendencies as I'm getting old. I say older, you know, relatively speaking. You know, and I guess for anyone who doesn't know, the absolute basis definition of extrovert and introvert is where we get our energy levels from.
Yeah.
And yeah, where once upon a time I would feel, you know, trapped or crowded or whatever if I didn't go out and meet people, which is probably how I ended up in fundraising. I just love talking to people. I definitely now can relate to what you're saying, Millie. Actually, when it's been a really people-y week, when there's been a lot on, I'm like, actually, I'm just gonna sit on the sofa for a bit. I'm just gonna sit here with a book just quietly. And yeah, I think that is something that kind of develops a little bit the older you get. So even though I am a mad extrovert, there is still definitely value in taking that time for yourself, I think.
I think it's really interesting what you said, Sarah, as well, about how you're seeing more introverts being in this environment and being in fundraising, because it isn't, I don't feel like being an introvert means that you're not suited to the job at all, because I, as I said before, I do love going out and meeting people and spending time even with colleagues and stuff as well, but then I do need to make sure that I take that quiet time for myself as well to be able to then be my best self with my supporters and with my volunteers and with my colleagues. So it's one of those interesting things. Everyone thinks you need to be like this outgoing, all on it all the time person, but it's okay to be the other way as well.
Yeah.
And I think being honest about it as well, you know, I will quite openly say that I'm a bit of an introvert. And I guess that sort of links quite nicely with bringing your authentic self to work and sort of being honest with colleagues and supporters and volunteers.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. I was going to say, did you have any, ever had any, can't talk. Did you ever have any challenges in trying to, yeah, almost not be authentic about who you are?
I haven't personally. I'm quite open and upfront with my volunteers about what I like, what I don't like. And actually, I've always found that I think they relate to that. It's almost like they can tell when you're telling the truth or not, you know? And being honest then builds that relationship. And at the end of the day, most forms of fundraising are about building those relationships, and actually having that strong base means that I know who I can ask and what I can ask to certain volunteers and supporters, because I know who they are and they know me, you know. I don't know how you guys feel about that, and whether that's been a sort of an important part of your roles.
Yeah, no, definitely, because I think I'm probably a little too much of an extrovert sometimes. It's, I think, just being like not that long ago out of university and stuff, I've always been very much around people all the time. So I think I should take a bit more time for myself and having that time for reflection and everything, because I think that's when you can kind of really get good work done as well. And then, like Millie was saying, that you can be like your best self for volunteers and your supporters and everything like that, because I think very much I'm the kind of person that will spread myself too like very much too thin, especially with work and stuff. I'm always trying to help everyone, and I'll help whatever team, and if there's someone leaving, I'll always help with that and stuff. But then actually that's probably not the best, for sometimes I can be too much there for other people and they can lean on me a little too much, and then that might not be the best for other fundraisers and stuff. And also, you don't want to do, I think sometimes with community fundraising as well, you can have a tendency for people to come to you with an event, and then it can very much end up being an event that you're leading on because you've helped them so much, which isn't always, obviously you can't help everyone all the time. So I think I'm very much trying to learn now that kind of a bit more of that balance and everything, and not being so quick to jump forward to help for everything, because otherwise you do feel like people can drain on you a little bit, and obviously you want to do the best for your charity and your cause and everything. So I think, yeah, I could learn a lot from just taking that time to reflect and work by myself, and then put myself out there again.
You know what's really interesting about that is thinking about some of the teams I've managed and led, is that how much in community fundraising, and again I think all fundraisers, but I've particularly seen it in community fundraisers, is having that I'm gonna say something really cheesy, it's like a server's heart, like people that really want to help others, and not necessarily in that big I'm going to change the world, but in that has anyone got 5 minutes to help me stuff some envelopes? Of course I do. Can anyone go and meet that supporter while I'm doing? Of course I can. You know, it's that kind of course I can, of course I can. And yeah, it's a beautiful trait. It is amazing, because it's how and why we do what we do, because we're helping our supporters and helping our charities. But actually, yeah, it can be easy to spread ourselves too thin, because it's not just about the 5 minute job here or there. It's the who wants to take on this project, who wants to take on this cross team working group, who wants to volunteer on this committee, who wants to do this, who wants to do that. And we so quickly can spread ourselves too thin by being authentic and wanting to help and wanting to be involved in all these things, but actually not taking enough time for ourselves. And I know I've been guilty of that. I think I see it quite a lot across, I say, community fundraisers in particular.
I guess another question to think about, what other ways do you find that you bring your authentic self to work, whether that's with your colleagues or whether that's with supporters and volunteers? Is there anything in particular that you think that you do that really shows who you are and your personality at all?
We've done quite a lot of the different personality tests within our teams, just so we all understand like who everyone is, how they work, what they, you know, what their strengths are, what their overplays are. I think that's been really kind of useful for us as a team, to really get to know each other and, yeah, know how we should approach people and how people like to work. And I think that is something that we're trying to do more of, is actually just realise that everyone is so different. And, you know, even just like introverts, extroverts, as well as, just how everyone likes to work in different ways. And it's so interesting to know, you know, more about each other in that way, I think.
It's interesting you say that, Emily. At one of my last team meetings that I went to, we've had a new manager and a couple of new members of staff, and it was really a case of kind of getting to know each other again. And we all had to take an item that represented ourselves from the home. So we brought something in that we thought really told the rest of the team about us. And then we also had to talk about what animal that we thought we were, which was...
Oh, God.
Yeah. But it was, and so I'm sitting there on the day before my team meeting going, oh, my God, how do I do this? I don't know myself. Oh, no, what do I take? You know, really overthinking it. But actually, it was a really good way to sort of see how everybody perceives themselves. Because obviously, we have our own perception of our team members, and it's really interesting to see how they perceive themselves, and that gives you a massive insight into how they think and who they are as a person in a lot of ways. So it was really interesting.
Yeah, I think stuff like that's so important.
What animal were you as well?
I was an ant.
Oh, interesting.
I would not have called you an ant.
Well, I was kind of going
hardworking.
Yeah, I was kind of going for the hardworking. My husband said to me, oh, you're very strong for a small person. So I went for that. And then, and also just, you know, they want to build a nice home and they want to look after the rest of their ant friends. And they're quite resilient.
Nice.
So that was kind of where I was going with that. But it's not a very cool animal.
It's that I think is the most hysterical. I think that's the most authentic as well. Like when you say ant, you think, oh, like a little small, you know, busy thing. And then actually when you explain... you know, you're thinking behind you like, oh yeah, that does perfectly fit you. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Alice, I think you were about to say something and we started talking about animals.
No, I think these kind of like personality tests are really important, because we did one when we did a volunteer workshop at the beginning of last year and with some of our key volunteers that we had, and it was really interesting just to find out a bit more about them. But I think this is something that I'm going to try and bring to like our wider fundraising team and stuff, because we are quite a small charity and it would be really good to find out how best everyone works and stuff, because obviously like you're all there for the cause and your individual jobs, but obviously you work across the charity so much, so actually really finding out what makes each other tick and, you know, trying to help people the best they can. But then you can only really do that when you know their different personality styles and stuff. So I think, yeah, that's definitely something that I'll try and get the rest of the team to do, because yeah, I think things like that are just so telling and you can just learn so much more.
And how did you find doing that with volunteers, and what do you think they got out of it, and has that sort of, I guess, how does that affect your relationship going forward with your volunteers? Is any of your behaviour going to change, or the way that you might, I don't know, propose an idea or something like that? Is that sort of the impact that it's had? Or
yeah, we brainstormed. So it was basically the beginning of last year that we did it, and we don't have that many volunteer opportunities as a charity, because it's mainly sort of like bucket collections and events rather than actually being able to sort of do anything on the ground where we do work internationally. But it was really interesting because we kind of took the different personalities and sort of key things that they really want to take from volunteering, and then developed some volunteering ideas out of it. And we did have a couple of small events off of it, and it's something that we should definitely kind of re-look at again. But we did take some sort of, get everyone sort of took something key from it. And I did feel like we were trying to say about trying to get the most out of fundraisers and stuff and just really develop those relationships, I felt like we did really solidify some good relationships from it. And I think the volunteers really sort of saw us being like, oh, these guys have really taken the time to actually get to know me, rather than just sending out all the same volunteer opportunities again and again, but not actually taking the time to listen to them.
I bet they felt really engaged with the charity as well.
Yeah, they did,
valued. It's such an, I hadn't thought about using those sort of personality tests in that way, but that's really interesting.
Yeah, I think with like sort of like key fundraisers that keep coming back and key volunteers and stuff that you know that you want to have those long-term relationships with, and that can obviously then be your key faces in your communities and stuff. I think it's really important, because then you know then they'll become, you know, those lifetime supporters that we all want.
And you can Karen.
And then tailor the messages about how they're gonna how their money's gonna help in such a nice way. If you know that there's someone that's actually quite stats and facts driven, obviously you don't always want to be only stats and facts, you want to still appeal to them emotionally, but you know that when you're announcing a big campaign saying this year we helped 10,000 people because of supporters, that will really appeal to that person. Whereas someone else just wants to know about the amazing one person that you help. Like, it just helps you tailor everything that little bit more and makes everything personalised, which is the more you can do in that in fundraising.
It's great, isn't it? It must make them feel so special. I guess another way that we can also sort of bring our authentic self to our relationships with supporters is through the use of social media. Do you guys use social media in your day jobs for communicating with supporters and updating sort of everybody? Do you kind of have your own Facebook pages and stuff, or is that not something that you guys do?
Yeah, in our fundraising team, we have charity Facebook pages, like Emily Children with Cancer, Roth kind of one. And we noticed that made huge differences to be able to, like, get better relationships with the fundraisers, communicate them in a different way. And it really helped drive up income, actually.
Really? Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, we utilised it loads for the London Marathon.
Yep.
And it was great. Like, they were answering each other's questions on there. People were, like, bigging each other up and giving them different tips and hints for fundraising and training. People were, like, meeting up externally, like, not just through our kind of regular meetups as well. And then the year we introduced it, income, you know, shot up. So it was really great to see that something like that was having an impact.
And what about, like, I guess another question is, in terms of the staff that have those Facebook pages, do they interact on a more personal level? So I know, for example, sometimes on my Twitter or on my Facebook page that I have for work, or Instagram, sometimes I will put up, I don't know, photos of my dog, for example, or just a bit something a bit more personal, rather than it being all about work and all about other opportunities. Is that something that you do and encourage, or is that something that you haven't thought about before?
Yeah, I think to an extent people put a little bit more to do with themselves on it. But we've never, I think there's a bit of a line that people try and, you know, so they can separate their personal and and work lives. But yeah, I think there's definitely more to it that we can definitely do. And it just makes us human, doesn't it? And people then, you know, want to build better relationships with us. And as fundraisers, then if you've got a better relationship, they'll then hopefully donate more money and want to be long-standing fundraisers for the charity.
Definitely. I use my Twitter account. My Twitter account has always been like a mixture of both. Like, I use it for work and everything else. It's a bit different to Facebook because it is, I think, so fast moving. You don't tend to get into immense detail about things.
Yeah.
So I'll tweet about the SIG stuff. I'll tweet about my charity. I'll tweet about cats, you know, whatever else it might be. I'll interact with my fellow fundraisers, and that always feels like it's a really nice way of keeping up to date with other people across the sector. Lots of members of my fundraising tribe there on Twitter. But I also do use it in, like, in my roles. So there was a last charity I was at, actually, there was a lady who'd recently signed up as a volunteer. She was highly engaged. She'd been really, really heavily involved on the charity's Twitter page. But obviously then, as individuals, we saw that as well. And she came into the office one day and we were like, oh, you're that lady from Twitter. And she was like, oh my God, everyone knows me already. Like, no, it's a really lovely thing. We got to know her really well. And she got to know us really well as well. So she went from being a brand new volunteer to being really heavily engaged and a really important part of the network and important asset to the charity, because everyone got to know her personally on Twitter really quickly. And she got to know us. So that was a really nice example, I think, of being human, Emily, like you were saying.
Yeah. I think it is really important. Like, I completely agree with what Emily was saying about there being a line between sort of personal and professional as well. You know, you want to still be seen as the fundraising manager or whatever your role title is to your volunteers, but equally it's like, I think they really appreciate it when you do bring personal stuff to work. Like, I know that when I go out to my branches and groups, last year I got married and they were all like, oh, how was it, you know, they were all so lovely and they wanted to hear all about it because they saw me as a person and not just as their fundraising manager. And because at the end of the day, that's what we expect from them. We expect to see their personality and for them to share their stories, and whether it be to do with the cause or not, you know, we are expecting them to have a relationship. So I think it must be really hard if you're quite shielded all the time, I guess, you know, about what you're, or trying to be overly careful about what you're saying, you know. I mean, there's definitely a line, but
just having common sense, isn't it? It's fine to share, you know, your pet updates or that you're getting kind of thing, but you might not necessarily, you know, invite them to the wedding.
Exactly.
Need a hell of a lot more
chairs. Might not be there in the front row. We love you supporters that listen to this, we do, but
yeah, no, it's true. I just think that having that personal, you know, it just makes more effective relationships, I think.
You just get a lot more out of people, I think, if you show that, like, you're being honest and, like you say, like, your true self and everything. And then, because obviously we are asking volunteers and fundraisers to give up a lot, like, you know, their free time and all these different things. So if we're not kind of being our honest self with them, then how can we get the most out of them back and stuff? So I think, so it's nice to have that two-way street as well. And I know a lot of our team are, like, genuinely, like, good friends of some of our fundraisers as well, and it is just nice because obviously you all very much care about the same cause, so
yeah,
it's nice to have that honesty.
And
I was gonna say, on the same basis though, how about with your teams and your colleagues?
Oh my gosh, I was literally about to say the same thing.
Oh, sorry.
No, that's good. Okay, I mean, I think that I'm fairly open with my team, and, you know, I like them to know a bit about my life, so then we can all understand, you know, I guess, external pressures and not just about the job. You know, I think it's really important as team members to know what's going on, you know, to a certain extent, so that you're there to support if they need it. You know, whether it be if they've, I don't know, their childcare's run out, or, you know, they need extra help doing some emails or something, you know, because you know their circumstances, you can, and a bit more about them, you can kind of offer that level of help. But also it's really nice, you know, to be that honest and sort of authentic about yourself and being a genuine person. And you guys might have seen, I've just been away for a couple of days with my other colleagues, my other community fundraising colleagues. And at the beginning of the first day of the conference, we were given the name of another member of staff in the team, and we had to think of three words to describe that member. And if we didn't know them, we had to kind of go and find out a bit more about them, whether that was through talking to them or their teammates. And then the following day, our whole activity revolved around those three words that we'd chosen for our colleague. And we ended up presenting each other with these really lovely key rings that had these three words on them. And it was just such a nice way to, again, find out how you've been perceived. You know, and it was such a positive sort of way of celebrating everybody in the room, and that is because we're all quite honest and open, otherwise we wouldn't know anything about anybody else.
I think that's really lovely. I think that's like, we had a team away day recently, and we had to answer some sort of key questions about ourselves, and like did a similar thing, like presented to the rest of the team and that. But our team's quite close anyway, because we're in an open plan office and there's really not that many of us, and so I feel like we're maybe a bit too honest sometimes, but generally very like supportive and everything of each other and stuff. But I think it's nice, and I think obviously you spend all day every day, well, I do anyway, obviously people who work remotely are different, but I sit with like the same people day in, day out, so I do feel like it is nice that we do have that very much open relationship.
I was about to pick up on your point, Alice, actually, because obviously you do work in an office, and do you guys, Emily and Sarah, you work in offices, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, and then freelance in my office tends to be
wherever
I'm meeting that day.
So I'm a remote worker. So coming together and sort of meeting my colleagues, etc., it's quite interesting, you know, that you do actually know each other. And so being honest and being genuine and being yourself is actually quite important right from the outset. Otherwise, you don't have enough day-to-day interaction sometimes to be able to build those relationships, if that makes sense. So you kind of have to go
think
first, you know, and just be like, okay, this is who I am, and, you know, like it or love it, you're stuck with me.
Yeah. How often do you get to meet your colleagues, Millie? Is it, like, monthly, or is it less frequent than that?
Our Southeast team, so that's me and five others plus my area manager, we meet once a month plus, you know, with my manager, we have a one-to-one each month. But in terms of meeting the whole team, that's once a year with our community fundraising conference, and then we have a big fundraising conference once a year as well. But that's very much huge. Like, that's the whole fundraising department at BHF, which is a different kettle of fish completely. And then obviously the only other time is if, you know, we have, maybe sometimes we'll have joint team meetings with other teams, which is actually really nice. So like other community fundraising teams. And then also if you're on like training courses that are happening at head office, then sometimes you'll see other community fundraisers. But if you think about it, it's not a lot, but actually there's a lot of people that, you know, I know quite well, even though I've been there 18 months, and you don't get to see them that often. So it's quite an interesting dynamic. We use Skype a lot, so we have Monday calls on Skype, and we have, with the Southeast team, we have a WhatsApp group. So, and that's very much a case. Yes, we can ask work questions on there, but it's very much a case of sort of sometimes we'll be sending silly gifts of dogs and, you know, saying good morning to everybody and catching up on, you know, TV and stuff that we've all watched, you know, because that is important. That's an important part of being part of the team, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Who you are.
Yeah.
You do that in the office, don't you? You'll catch up on Game of Thrones or Love Island.
Exactly.
Yeah. Whatever you've done at the weekend and that, I think, yeah, it's important.
Yeah. Yeah. So it is all about sort of making sure you make that effort, I think, particularly if you work remotely. But then equally, you know, it's just as easy to kind of distance yourself from people, even in an office. You know, you can be that person that just stays and sits at their computer all day and doesn't join anyone for lunch, and, you know, it's easily done. So, yeah, it's an interesting one. But I do think it's very important to bring your authentic self to this job, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was having a ponder about that. I was thinking about when was the time I was like my most, or possibly one of my most authentic self at work? And the thing that always springs to my mind straight away was back when I worked in an international development charity, me and my peer, we were jointly heading up the team when our head of wasn't there. And we were doing a team away day, team planning session. And we'd asked everyone to bring the stories of the people that we'd worked with that inspired them the most. And we were both quite similar, me and my colleague, and we were retelling the stories, and they were quite emotional stories, like in a positive way, in that kind of inspirational, powerful way. And both of us started crying, telling our stories, and then we set each other off. And we were just there in front of our whole team, who were looking at us being like, huh, these are our managers, these are our leaders. Like, huh, okay, should our managers be crying in the... None of them said this. You could just sort of read it on their face a little bit. And we owned it, and we were like, actually, guys, this is, you know, this is fundraising. You know, actually, the stories that we're telling and the people that we're working with don't provoke an emotional response. I'm not saying stand here and cry every time, but, you know, this is how powerful this story was, and this is what it meant to me, and that is why we're here and what we're doing. So as we go into our next sessions and talk about budgets and the plans and the numbers, let's always keep bringing it back to this and why we're here. And that for me is about, you know, being your authentic self. You know, I do get quite not overly emotional, but, you know, I love hearing the stories of people my charity are supporting. I love hearing the stories of the awesome, wonderful, bonkers, inspirational things my supporters do for the charity. And I will proudly be like, oh, that made me a little bit emotional, because people should know that that's how powerful the stories are.
We actually had something quite similar. One of the fundraising conferences that I went to with BHF, we were just sort of launching our new brand and talking about the other conditions that we actually fund research into. And we, a lot of our colleagues, so across the whole fundraising directorate, a lot of our colleagues were asked, you know, if they'd been affected, and so many people stood up in the audience sort of telling their story of who had been affected and their story. And these were people that we worked with every single day, you know, and they were so willing and open to share, you know, why they were doing what they were doing and what it meant to them. But so everybody else who was in the room, you know, that hadn't been asked to share their link to cause or whatever, we were all like in floods of tears and just feeling so overly emotional at people that we probably don't know very well. But, you know, it is all about being so genuine that you're sharing that story. And it sort of links back to what we were saying before about how, you know, we expect our supporters to share their stories. So, you know, should the same be expected of us? Probably.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Right. I think on that note, on that happy note of everyone crying, we should probably call it a day. But it's been a really insightful conversation about being sort of your authentic self at work, whether that be with your colleagues or your supporters, and just how I think we've all agreed how important it is. So
yeah definitely
agreed. Well, thank you very much for listening, everybody, and hopefully we'll be back again soon. Bye.
You've been listening to Simon Scriver's Amazingly Ultimate Fundraising Superstar Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and head over to changefundraising.com to learn more or get in touch with Simon. Or don't. Whatever. You're big enough to make your own decisions.
Hello, this is Morgan Freeman. For discounts on Simon's best-selling online fundraising courses, go to www.changefundraising.com/training and use coupon code podcast. Complete them in your own time, wherever you want. Get busy living or get busy buying.